They told me I've been ill these months. I haven't found out yet. I just had a good time. But, this is a put-up job. Because, I'm only supposed to come here as a kind of extra color. Extra number. I belong to where Paul belonged. We look to Philemon. I, Paul, the aged. There may be one or two of you nearly my age here, I don't know. And, and the first session always awkward, because of getting to know each other and what to say, what not to say. Then the ball begins to get rolling after that. I've been able to spend my 3 months up in my room with at least I've had my typewriter, which is just a bad of a writing, but at least it does type. I'm able to dig into a few things which I've kind of run away from for a long time. So I'd love to get around all I can. So I've been doing some of that. I had a good go on Romans 6-8. I've a long time wanted to really get Paul to say what we say. People might listen then. So I've been getting Paul to do it. And that's in the Fred's hands now, get it out, and I hope to get it to all my fellow in the mission I belong to, fellow workers, about 1,000 of them, get it down to them. And other things, the whole point of the Bible to me is to see the Holy Spirit getting through the people, using the Bible for me to get the people to be people. So to get people to be people. And the Holy Spirit's done it through the ages, through the written word. So I found great profit great many years in seeing the Holy Spirit getting into men. And expressing himself by men through the ages, right up from Genesis upwards. And I've done a good deal of those in due course, and Julie has some of them already, but I was able to revise them a good deal. So I spent quite a long time on Job and Joseph and Jacob. Jacob's always my favorite because everybody maligns him. Any person likes Jacob is God and me. We enjoy Jacob very much. And I like to see God using the people he shouldn't use. Great fun. And others, Moses, Elijah, Elisha. I've had great benefit doing those. And Mary Sandbeck up in Louisville, they kindly retyping them and they'll come through in due course. I've got Hebrews, still using Hebrews here. Some of them had a good time on Hebrews. Pretty rich Hebrews, isn't it? But I've had a great time on Hebrews. And, it costs something, because you can't likely write, you know. You can say, and people forget what you say. When you write, of course. I learned that was one of the first books I ever wrote, Touching the Invisible, which I wrote 50 years ago. So I found some things I said there, they need a little more careful saying in writing. So I learned my lesson there. So it's a different thing to write than just to talk. Because like Congress, you can always forget what you talk. You can't forget what you write. And so it's a good, tough job to write. And be sure what you say as far as you see is God's saying it. So I've done some of that. And I want to go and do some more. So there we are. The point is what's best to talk about on our first session. I've never had my prepared sermons. I can't give you 5 points. You can read it that way. I really give what we've got, that's all. So I'm only saying what we'll be put in different forms, of course, through the weekend. And what did we say is, why we say something unique? What is the uniqueness? And why are we in a position that it's very rare. Or written, very rare. So it's a big thing to say things you need. So if I'm saying what I'm saying it now, I hope it's what the scripture says. And then if it's the same kind of thing as how you're going to come and say on these other sessions, you're in for conversation. Because the joke is, already most of us are co-confronted. We're the old bunch together. So I'm only reminding you of the old bunches, what the old bunch says. Only a few of you here, I think, that are those who have not been before. But it is unique. See, why the Jews fight Jesus? Isn't because he's just Jesus. It's because he shakes their whole basis of life up. No, Judaism goes down the drain. Judaism went on the cross. And so it shakes the very being. So a Jew doesn't refuse Jesus just because Jesus was or wasn't in history. It's because if you believe him, you're in the trouble as a Jew. You're in the explosion. That's Muslims. That's why Muslims can't take Jesus to the Muhammad. Because they didn't just take a historic Jesus and sort of say they claim to believe in a historic Jesus. But he blows up the whole Muhammadism. Because everything is blown up if you go to Jesus. You take Jesus and his way of being is, that's all. So that's explosion. And we are in that same explosion in Church of Christ today. I have no evidence that I can give. There's any sign of the Church of Christ on any level taking it as four members of the Church of Christ, as groups of the Church of Christ. I don't know. When the final issues come down, whether one might take it, you expose everything. You expose your relationships, expose your cooperation, everything. So it's a very rare thing. For a group or a person who represents a group to them what it is to us. Now, why is it unique? Because the purpose of God's church is to have complete selves. That's a beautiful thing to say. Complete selves. Even Jesus had to learn obedience through his suffered as Jesus. Being made perfect, because Jesus himself had been made perfect. That's false stuff. To make other people perfect. And he was the son of man, wasn't he? So we have to find a relation to a perfect deity, who the only person there is, the perfect person, who can re-express the perfect person. And the perfection is the problem. So to be a perfect person, because you're expression of the perfect person. And you can't express yourself, can't express the perfect person unless you know what it is to be an expression of the perfect person. So you've got to be perfectly expressed. That's the difficulty. So of course we start with some things we all know. Well, there is only one person. I say that kind of thing, you know that. In the beginning, he. In the end, he all in all says all this, you know that. I've seen there's no other. So the universe is he in Paul's expression, that's obvious. What's a tree? It's a life in a seed. As a life in a seed, you take the form of a tree. That's life, of course, is a deity life in a seed. You know that. So you see, there is only one person. Yet he collects persons to be persons, without the origin of something. The battle rages. Kind of love another reality, that consciousness is only the opposite. Nothing can ever be known except the opposite. Light can only be known by dark, sweet by bitter, and so on. If you take a light, no, unless you have the opposite, and the two together make light, you utilize it darkness to express its lightness. And heat uses cold to express its heatness. You have that, see? The whole universe, of course, that's what the modern-day physicists know. Physicists, the problem of the duality of the atom. Why is it a particle? Why is it a wave? Why is it both? And those two make atoms. They're two opposites. Particles jump and the waves go, yet they're two. They're part of opposites. And those two opposites make the atomic out of all this, of course. So it's like the extent of being is this. Therefore, that raises a question, and which has an answer. That you can't have a God who hasn't confronted the opposites and put them into focus. That, of course, is why long ago Thomas said, "Why do you say God? There's something God can't do." Why did you say God can't lie? Can't lie. God didn't. Can't lie. Because a lie is one of the opposite that lie, of course, are self. So you have that problem solved in God. We have to use eternal temporal forms of eternal things, and you can't do more than better than that. He's from everlasting to everlasting, but there's a problem that has been solved in it. And the problem is, he's the self. A self must be for himself, he can't be self otherwise. He must be a self-sufficient, self-aligned, self-operating self. Left to itself, that's a self for self. But mercifully, the half the universe is opposites. A thing cannot be known except as opposite. And the opposite was God bringing out into being his own son, and instead of becoming a self for self, he becomes a self for his son, a self for others. Therefore, the heart of God is a cross. That's the value we have in the book of Alan Parker. The cross is the heart of God. So the heart of the person is a death and life. a person who ceases to be one kind of person become another kind of person. It said there are many, what the Bible calls a fire, a consuming fire. Fire becomes light. Fire is consumed, or it becomes light. As a death takes place in the fire, it produces light. And the helium atoms fuse, they become light. Fire and light. Fire consumes, light blesses. At the same basis, that's God. So the heart of God is a person of a certain quality who ceases to remain that person of a certain quality. His quality is me for me for me. And he becomes the eternity at the beginning of the sun, the fire which was me for me becomes the light and self-giving love. And all this being goes into the love of the sun. And so that whole being, that combined being, is other love. It combined with the other love. But that's a crossing. And without that cross, it couldn't be conscious. You only be conscious of opposites. But it's only conscious because it's sitting dark. Wouldn't know it otherwise. Sweet's only conscious because it's sitting bitter. And all life, you only know conscious because it's sitting the other. And then you put the two together and make something. And you cooks make something out of sweet bitter and make the two together and make something. And we make dark light and produce a light situation and so on. That, of course, is fundamental to our uniqueness, because there are certain ways that have been through history in which people will talk about God, a relationship to God. People have a relationship to God. All religions have a relationship to God. They sit by a cross. So it's a false relationship. It's building up a God without a cross, and a humans without a cross. And it's trying to build a thing up without a death in the middle. Yeah, copy. So as everything is only two opposites which combine, and one uses the other, as I say, life falls up, death and so on. So that's through the universe. So it's in the personal universe. That is mainly unknown as a fact in the Church of Christ. The Church of Christ may say of the cross, but they won't understand why there's a cross. The cross is in God. That's why article, that pamphlet is so important to us. It came out of the great mystic Jacob Burma. The cross is in God. The cross doesn't start with us, it starts with the person. The other person, only the kind of person he is now, the self-giving person, because of the death, being a self-loving person. That's the Trinity, Father, Son, and the Spirit reproduces. That's the being. That's the person. That's not known in the Church of Christ. Even though the Church of preach a cross, they mean our cross. They mean the cross Christ died for us. They don't mean the cross in which God died. That's the missing spot. That's the beginning of the uniqueness. That's for a long time I said that, I read Jacob Burman, and I used that scripture I told you. God cannot lie. God, something God can't be. Then you got it. Then why? How can't he lie? Why doesn't he lie? I told you. Because a lie, of course, is a quality of self for self. If something happens to God, he can't be self for self. He must be self for others. How? Why? How does the self for self become a self for others? As a death, yeah. A replacement. A death to being one quality of self, fire, and becoming another quality of self, light. And fire produces light. Father, Son. So even there we start our uniqueness. And of course, that's so far away from us that we can put that away and say, go on. It's after us. After us. God has brought person into the being, the tribe of his own person. That's the great leap of the creation. He brought persons into being like himself. In their makeup. In their makeup. Spiritual body, makeup, quantity, makeup. We're made in his image. Which of course means that therefore he's got something by which he can produce himself. Everything he shows forth is glory. You can't see God's a tree, you see glory in the tree. You see glory in the light. Everything I live in worship can always see the glory in everything. Springtime, marvelous, marvelous. So you don't mistake the outbirth of the green around us as God, it's the expression of God. You don't mistake God for the leaf. But you do mistake God for the person, because that's a different thing. That's the leaf in the creation. Everything else is God in a form. In naked person is God as a person. So you see, it's enormously serious. If the creation of person is to reproduce the person, it's enormously serious. It's the very heart of being. If God can find a means of re-expression itself by person. He can re-express it by calling his glory and all that science and physics and power and glory in person. And that's all the poor scientists can get. They can hammer out impersonal. If life isn't impersonal, it's forms. Life's a person. And a person is only accepted as a person by person, not by a person. That's the difference. But now then, because of things, by the opposite, you've got to meet the opposite in the person. As I say, light earlier because there's dark, and sweet earlier because there's bitter. So everything has, and as I say, the outer atom is both part of that and away. They're opposites. They have to fit them together and make their entities out of it. So everything must have opposite. So a person has opposite. So God has us, and that's how the course is. All right. Now the other great danger, one of the first dangers, we don't recognize the basic nature of God, which has a course in us. A fire with the color of light is God. Those are the Bible terms. A fire which appears is called light, which blesses. In between the dead. That's God. That's why God is truth. Therefore, of course, man's a person, must do the same, go through the same process. Now here comes the other problem which we know. Which is equally our weakness, is equally our uniqueness, is that there is only one person. There is only one person. And that person expresses itself in forms. Forms are trees and whatnot. Or expresses a person by a person. There's only one person. Only one person. A person can express itself on a lower level by atomic power or color or things, and you see glory. He expresses himself as a person by person, there's only one person. So the person can't become the person. Now that's where we move into our other needs. Because God died to be one kind of person, become the other kind of person. He died to be a fire, self to self, burning. And the beginning of the sun because the light is so giving. So we all start the fire. That's the basic thing. Everything is fire. Classical fire, not all of those fire. Fire, fire, fire. Everything is fire. It's just a form of fire. We know that. That's why there's this electrical power going about somewhere all over the place. Fire, fire. The electricity is light. child. Child. That's a, that's now in God's sense, that's a self concept. Who thought that way? Now the the way we have to learn who we are, especially who we are, is by a delusion and a deliverance from it. By a delusion and a deliverance from it. The delusion is that you can be a person that isn't God person. That's what Satan was. Satan's a former God. He's a fire former God. He made a fire person that is a God person in fire form. He's a negative God. A God person is fire form. But there's no such thing as a person except God. So God, Satan's only person that is God's personhood in its wrong form. Fire form. So it's God has died. So God has a cross in it. Satan wouldn't have a cross. That's what this world is trying to build up as a religion without a cross. Same thing. Now this is the way in which God had to teach us our basic negative to have a basic positive. We've got to know. Our basic negative is to know who we are as a negative and then who we are as a positive. Now see, Satan has deluded himself in his negative. It's all negative. It's positive, negative. God fire is a negative, light is a perfect. But God's fire is far up his life, he's all love. Satan is the same fire, not followed up, but the main fire, self. But the lie is that the person, that the intelligent person, he makes it as if it's himself. That's his lie. As if he's a separate person, as those are saints. He's just a negative, a fire followed God, which God never has been. He's God's had his eternal destiny. Now, see, we have to learn what a self is and how it functions. Where Satan failed her, then God learned it. God learned it by having a son. God learned it. Jesus had to learn obedience to his son. He had to learn by dying to be a fire God and becoming a light God in his son. Now Satan wouldn't do that, so he lays her a fire form and thinks he's therefore himself just a fire form. Doesn't say he's a fire form, but God is just self, fire form. Just a self. Now we have to learn the same way. So we have to learn that we have the inherent potential of being eternal re-expressions of God, perfectly natural. Perfectly natural re-expression of God. And one day we will operate as God. That's why God says, you silly people, if you even have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you do move mountains. We don't move a straw, that's the mountain. That's only grain. A grown tree of faith will move a universe. That's what we're going to be. People move like God moves. We begin by little grain stuff. A little bit of faith. Jesus said there's only a grain left, but even that does a thing or two. It does a thing or two. So when you know all these people, but you see, you have to learn who we are as a person. By finding out a person is only a re-expression of the deity person and nothing else. But it's a re-expression of the false form of the deity person or the right form of the deity person. The false form of the deity person is Satan, who acts as though he's really only a negative form of God. That's why it's called the God of this world. And in order we may learn who we are, we have to be caught up right into that delusion. So we know we accept Satan at the fall, but we think he made us something. He made us operate, but that's a lie. He made us what we think he is, a negatively operating person, isn't he? He's operating God's fire nature. Self for self nature. Self-destructive nature. That's God's fire nature, it's just hell. And Satan, thinking he runs at himself, put that into us, we think it's ourselves. So we don't know it's Satan as us. We think it's taking influence of us and impregnated us, and we're just sort of ourselves, sort of doing sort of ourselves as a person, influenced by Satan. There's no such thing as a self. There's only one self in the universe, there's only one operating self in the universe. All other selves are expressions of the self. Like a tree is an expression of God's life form, the earlier form there. This isn't itself an expression of a life form. Atomic powers, they call it power comes from mind. It's expression of the inner mind, you've got it. It's a form of a mind, a form. Everything is there. And a person can only be expressed by expression of God's person. That's tremendous. But God's person. And in his delusion, he thinks himself, thinks independent, and puts that into us, makes us think we are independent. So we live our lives as if we're persons related to Satan. Well, now we've, Jesus came and died and rose and Christ was born, and so we've moved. And we've moved, that's been a separate confession of sin and lost condition, and coming to Jesus and totally sacrificed and saved and so on. We've done that. And because God had done more than that, he could be himself with, because he's really put Satan out, that we don't know. That's the body death of Christ. We don't know that. We know the blood death of Christ. Romans 1 to 5. We don't know the body death of Christ. Romans 6 to 8. So we know the blood death of Christ. And because he had done the body death, it could operate us and it could come and take us out. Because really, take us out, we didn't know it. We don't know that. It really is out in the Calvary. Not the same sin out, Satan's out. We don't know that. Satan's sin principles out. We don't know that. But so because it's been done, it could operate. So we're beginning born again. Now we're born again, now we're new. Now that must be get our first dawning light is something isn't us, it's doing something new in us. We know that's of us. We're born of the Spirit. If you're born again, you know something's happening, it isn't you. You found out something. You thought the faithfulness of more or less was you. He influenced you, you only thought you were comfortable with your sins and all that, which you went. And you're a slave, doing slave stuff at all. But you thought you were. But you recognized Satan's power, but you started yourself pretty accountable. So part of Satan made part of you. Now this, you know, isn't you. You've begun something. That the person doing something which isn't me, a new nature. And something about me, and our love, and the peace of the isn't me. That much I see. Now, because I've been rooted in this lie of an independent self, which is really negative God. It looks like being us, Satan. Negative self, self to self. Because I've been rooted there, and Satan made it with me, now I think I'm a person and Christ. Now I'm a bit confused. It's person has Christ, yes, I see that. A person with the Holy Spirit, I see that. It's person with Christ. A person has Christ. Is a person in Christ, it's still a person. Or Christ in me, it's still a person. I've still got my person with my problem. I may have so far I've Christ in me, that's wonderful. Holy Spirit in it, that isn't me, I know that. There is a thing in which I think is me, that's my lie. Because it's Satan's lie. Satan is expressing this higher self, which is making the form of God, as what this does. Because the whole of the last radical desperation is the destruction of the our basis of our selfhood. Our life is different than our selfhood. That's why it's radical. Before we're saved, of course it's built on self. I'll be best I can, I'll do what I want. Satan admitted it, it's me. I won't get saved because I've got a me. I want to preserve my me. It may be a bit of Satan in it, but I preserve my unsaved condition. Now we've got beyond that, but we still think it's a me who's a lost sinner and become a saved saint. I'm still preserving a me, and don't understand my good self me is a bad my bad self me, because all self is self for self. So good self is bad for bad self. Romans 7, when I would do good, evil is perfect. Now that's what caught the church up. And the whole church says, yes, I have Christ, so as I said, I'm talking about saved church. I'm not even talking about the many precious people who aren't even saved in churches. Now thank God our beings are saved in churches. But see, Christ and me, I have Christ as a me, and of course now I was devoted to Satan, now I'm devoted to Christ. Of course, I didn't know I was Satan. I didn't know I expressed Satan, I was devoted to Satan, so I thought. Now I reverse my devotedness to Christ, only as a me. And all I had is to be a better kind of me, expressing Christ. So I'm a self-conscious me, not just Christ-conscious me. I'm not just a Christ-conscious me, a me expression. I'm a self-conscious me, it's a me and Christ. Me in Christ, Christ in me, it's a me and. It isn't a me as. A me as means it isn't me, it's he. A me in means as me as he. Him and me is he and me. Me as means he and me. I don't say that. That's the last talk. I don't say that. So I know. That's why Lord John says, as he is, so are you. As he walked, he walked. John had the as. Lord John had the as. Now this is the point. And we built up community, we built our churches, our societies, and the whole way goes when this goes. Because your way is relating yourself to the society which possesses of Christ. So you're in the prayer meetings, in the work, good, and all that, they're all part of the society expressing Christ. It's a me expressing Christ. In the old days, it's a me expressing Satan, and you got out of that one anyhow. And you come to Jesus and got saved. Now it's a me expressing Christ. All you have is that. This is the desperate thing. You doubt your church, you doubt your pastor, you doubt your people. And hardly any pastor will take this because it's a destroyed congregation. The congregation won't take it. They'll be upon, come on Sunday and pray more and do well. It's me and Christ. It's this Christ, it's me and Christ. It's Christ that says me. I've got that self preserving me as well as preserving Christ. That's, and that's my church is built on that, and church is built on that. It destroys churches. As I said, Jesus didn't just destroy law, he destroyed Judaism. Destroyed the whole system of priests and sacrifices. That's the whole being is destroyed. No wonder they crucified him. Not just a question of law. So, you did being with him, and now nothing more tragic than the Holocaust. Why the Holocaust tragedy? Because nobody went crazy. Holocaust is a tragedy, they burned. It's good to burn, but they didn't know they burned Jesus. He didn't know it. Let them burn us, we burn with Jesus and praise God. We have a great Holocaust. They go to gas, shade and praising. Those couldn't do it because they don't know Jesus. They went crying, dark, dark, dark. So they say, pity them, you shouldn't have to pity them. If they knew Jesus, praise them, be burned with Jesus, isn't it? Then what are they pitying for? They don't know Jesus. Because the whole Jewish race don't know Jesus. Shown up, not one. I don't know one person went praising the gas chamber. But we would, we'd go praising the gas chamber. We said, oh, it's great that you tell us about Jesus. They don't know that. Because you see, they're holding the system. And that's why they want to see Jesus. They blow the system up. They cease to be a respectable Jew. Not just to see Jesus. Or a respectable Muslim. They blow the Muslim. No wonder the Muslims burn him. Kill him. He destroys Mohammedanism. He doesn't get the joy of believing in Mohammed. He destroys Mohammedanism. Jesus is radical. And destroys your church life. That's your problem. Even if you remain in the church, you know that you're uncomfortable and they are too, you know it. God bless you to come to me. Remain as you can to be a lover. Remain as you can. But you're uncomfortable and they're uncomfortable. You're not part of them. Pray more, work more, do more. You know it and the pastor knows it. And so you are an uncomfortable Christian. It's all got the ultimate. You die for your church. Don't do that. You hurt it because it's in the church. It's Christ's church. Say it as you can. Bless it as you can. Bless it. But you have to do it with a hurt on you. I have to do my own mission. My own mission goes far farther than most of my mission. The Father of the Son of God only hardly any cases. I'm thrown out now. They only know 6 people. Yet, Lord, let me build a hole in the being. I'm out. Because I can't take that it's not a bunch of people serving Jesus. It's Jesus serving himself in our form. They can't take that. They can't die out to be missionaries. They can't do it. I tell you, it's a desperate thing. It cuts not just your, it cuts your whole way of being. Then you may say, I mean, I love my way, I remain a little more electric. So I love them, and I know they're great stuff there for Jesus. I'm not going to leave them until they finally kick me out altogether. Because I'm with them, but I'm with them with a sore heart. because I don't. Except for one thing, I don't know. And when I walk in, they'll never ask me about me. They'll ask me about the convention. And I talk them about Japan, Japan or Africa or Colombia, and love to talk. They'll never say, what about you, Lady Anne? They have a prayer center going on now. I say, Dr. Prayer gets to bleeding. They don't take me. So they get all of them to pray certain hours a day. And they've been listed out our headquarters here, certain people to pray for. Well, four of them are caught. They've given my name to pray for. Four of my precious people I know very well. I went to won't have miracles. And they did send me that these dear four people prayed for me. So I wrote back, oh, I said, praise God. I thought you'll pray me out of error, will you? But please tell me what the error is. I said, I thought you'd visibly clean me out of my error. Please tell me what the error is. Not one answered. They're damned. That's why they won't tell me. They're damned happy. They get blown up. They're damned happy. Serious, it is my own. And my precious work, I tell you, they prefer to any, I know no other mission goes far than they stole after Jesus. They don't, no salary, no guinea pig or stuff. No salary, no nothing. They're giving for Jesus. Sell their lives out in Africa for Jesus. If they don't know this, they don't know this, they hide it. It's true, they and Jesus. They and that's a death. The death of God died, they have to die. The death of Jesus died, including himself, as you might say, cross on Calvary. So you see, you don't find that until you are desperate about yourself, until you can't make that as a redeemed self now, as a church member, not unsaved, until you're desperate as a redeemed self. It didn't work. Whatever you just worked with in research, you know that. You've been saved, you've been spiritual, you had the gift, it hasn't quite worked there. It hasn't yet quite worked. Something is something missing. You believe if you have the abiding life, and see Christ abides in you, something missing. Because it's not the abiding Christ, it's the abiding you is the problem. That's the problem. See this. That you're a beautiful soul. So many that you express God, but the only expression. The whole universe, the only expression. And because you're only working by its negative, you have to have the wrong expression first. So lonely. I had person express the hellish power of God and activism himself Satan. Get into the mix of the very Satan. And you have at last to realize all that self-suffer Satan as you. And you live in the air, not an in. It wasn't Satan in you, it was Satan as you. Now when you know Satan as you, you need to take Christ as you when you look out. And when you know this other app operates the cause in the body, it is made sin, made like ours. We're sinners expecting, humans expecting Satan's sin. And Jesus has made that, not for our sins, but blood. He's made sin, so God is taking sin. By the power of Satan. He died as made sin, outside that sin. And what death outgoes the spiritual body. In case those sins, that sin. So it's the body of death, which is saying it was Christ, it was Satan as us. Now it's Christ as us, who's the body of death of Jesus Christ. So back on the cross. And in that cross, you're involved at the bottom. You find it because you're your own church put you up. Say it as you can, but you'll find you there'll be just something with you. As I say, I'm all my whole being is in my work. I spent 60 years in my work. Out of Africa, I live in these places. Columbia is my life. Africa, and I live in those places. Talk to me, never ask me. I spent hours talking about Japan and West Africa and this. I'm totally interested. They never dare say, what about you? They know they dare. There's something there. We should catch them in the woods. So they live nicely with me and share about my what is here. I long to hear. I eat up all I can about what is Africa. It's my life. And India and Indonesia and it's my life. They never come back about me. They dare. Because I'm an outsider. Without the camp, then. So I love to be with him and I'll be with him to the end. Why that happens? And so at some point they do happen. But only on that level, except for just one of them. This is his level. So the whole thing goes, and Paul said, I don't know man after flesh. No man after flesh. This is the church. Now, I don't even know Jesus after flesh. I'm a spirit person. And a spirit person is a person expressing the spirit deity. Your human self is expressing the spirit and that is noticing, and the expression of his creativity in his nature, and his humor in his life. Now, I won't say any more about that tonight, we're going to discuss that these days. That's what we're talking about. That's what it's in. We're radical. And the day hasn't yet come when the whole church will take. One day, the earth shall be full of joy, the Lord's waters of the sea. That doesn't come to that. There's one and one. It's glory, one. And then one's arising, they're arising. Because my great thrill is to be like this yet, though, which I shouldn't be, because if you folks take an arm, thank God you've taken on now. You've just come to that mighty English conference where I left about for some years. I never thought you for. You've got the new generation coming through your generation now. And this conference now is your generation. And I'm just telling you from the old background, shouting from the background to you. That's what it is. And you're the one that's going to live it through now. Live it through. But it's radical, and only when you know it's radically new, you can't think radically of other people. That's just very simple. It's a marvelous thing. Exactly like God. But to contain God, not yourself, no such thing as contain yourself. And because of this so much, you had to contain the wrong self to start with, Satan's self. And what it's you, and that's Satan operating in. You've got to find that, and then find the death of death by taking it out Christ again, moving as Christ as you. And you're like a walking Christ. And you learn to be a simple person and a walking Christ. And you'll practice in daily life as well. I had lovely, how may I say, so lovely travel down from Boston the day of my betting here. They're involved in the printing industry. It's a thrill to me to be right in it. God doing this. That's it. In practical life. See, God can see your finance. God can see living machines. This is it. Practical person, God in a person. God's making this. That's the life. But it's God. It's not better. And you've got to know that. That's our own. And therefore, I know to you mainly, man, because the accompaniment, I'm only the man you have to know. But that's all. When you do know it, the Spirit starts like a river in you. He starts like a well in you. He becomes a river flow. When you really know it, you can't hear it. Thank God, a lot of the Spirit, I can't help it. He's got to give it. He's got to give it. Our life's got to. He does, he's getting Christ in the earth, what he is for other people. In our different kind of life. So that's it. We don't use this part of our first evening by the heavy stuff that you ask for, so you got it. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're glad that this is your hour, so we should be troubled. It's you. You do the speaking. You give the listening ears. You open the eyes. You do the job. You can't get it, you go on doing it, till the whole world knows. So thank you. And for getting us together this weekend, and to interchange and learn a little more of you from and by each other. Thank you. And bless the people who are preparing for us here and looking after us. Bless them too. Amen. Well, I didn't know or expect that I'd be lumped on you again this morning. I came to be a sideliner. And so there we are. I'm half deaf. My teeth fall out. Can't walk very well. Nothing left up here. There we are. I hope it must be the Holy Spirit, that's all. As I have been landed on you this morning, I'd like to dig in again with you and examine whether we really do know what we say we know and are who we say we are. Because if we are, it's like a surge on you. It's a passion. God's a passion. The product is this. And when we're in the God relationship, we're a passion. And you can't stop an Amazon. Let me get old. Says he, am I? Am I? What I say I am. What is this unique reality we spoke of last night? What is it? So I want to go over it again. As we do so and discuss things this weekend, and I will talk of the see exactly who we are and what we are. See, Paul said to the very high-level saints, the Ephesians were the high-level saints. He said, the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened. They were the high-level people. He said, I pray the eyes of the understanding may be enlightened. You may know. No top stuff. Seated with him, top stuff. Crucified with him, seated with him. So see, Paul said that to the top saints, not the beginners, in the Ephesians. So there is that. This is all we have interpreted by the Spirit. In some senses, we aren't a very Bible people. I always have to have a Bible with me, always. Older I get, the more I live in one book, really. It's the only kind of authority I have as a human. It has to be interpreted, superhuman, by the Holy Spirit. It has to come through the human. Well, I know that I'm an African missionary. And I translated the Bible, or the New Testament, half the Old Testament, into a language called Bangala, which is now the language of the whole of Zaire. Well, I picked it up as only a local language. But I remember the thrill of the thing called, of course, they could read. None of them could read. But when they could read, it's not what you say, it's what the book says. They've got something. Oh, I see. It isn't what you white men say, it's what the book says. Because it isn't only the book, it's what the Spirit says by the book. But it comes out of the book, out of the book. So we have to be people of the book as well as people of the Spirit. That's very important to us because Jesus said it isn't the book in the end, it's the Spirit. He said the words I speak are their spirit and life. Their words have become life, but their first words have become life. They don't come life without being words first. So the two go together. So we're right, they're not book people, we're spirit people. Spirit people are book people at their basis. One of the best letters I got from the New English, you people who see England last month, and was from one of our sharpest, I know very well, very sharp-minded teacher. I guess she came, and she weighed things up. I was so glad she looked at me and said, I like finding you scripture-centered people. Now, I hadn't expected her to say that. I noticed how scripture-centered you were. I said, that's good stuff. Now, she's the kind of person who watch for that, and see if you just talk, or to get your basis. So we are basic people, but the basis has got to become people. They kill on the basis. And I know we don't do much direct Bible study. I know we don't in that sense. I hope and think we do interpret the Bible. I hope we do. That's in some ways been my drive for years to be sure I'm interpreting this. My only safeguard is I say, well, it says over here. It has to be repeated by me my way. I don't want you, that's what you say, we said so here. That's our only authority. We are human. Paul will always say the infirmity of your flesh. Flesh is good stuff, but it's human stuff. It's only bad stuff, but it's misused. It's good stuff. God is manifested in the flesh. That's pretty good if God is manifested in it. So flesh is good stuff, misused, all I can use. But it's human, it's frail. So you're not a vessel. And the infirmity of flesh means, well, we've got to find out and we may make mistakes and all that stuff. Mistakes aren't sin. We need to talk about that. Not the condemnation lies there, but don't we get time this morning. But, there is infirmity of flesh. And this is to build up so we can know what we have got. On the flesh level, on the mind level. Like the actor says, oh, I see now, it says so here. It's, oh, I see, this is just what you said. But then it has to come back to what you said. See what I mean? So we are Bible people. And though our tendency is to share But hopefully, I think we do own the whole share from the Bible. And we go back to the Bible as our final authority. So I'm really asking, I'm really running over that again this morning with you, on the Bible basis, to find out whether it's become me. Spirit me. He spirit me, I spirit me. So the Bible becomes me. It's got to become, it's via the Bible. Me. I asked the question that we raised last night, and which is our fundamental question, because it is the missing question. It is the missing question. And we claim to have the answer. And if we have, the Church of Christ desperately needs us, whether they know it or not. The question is this. We go pretty far in Romans. Now we can go pretty far with us here. I didn't go through Romans 1 to 5 to you, the justification of faith. Thankfully, we all have been that way. That's a very radical way. That's been a word become life to us, of course. Jesus has become a personal savior to us. We're righteous in his righteousness, the precious blood shed and resurrection. Justified by grace, gained by justification. We know that. And the Spirit speaks to the Word, the Spirit is the one who's born us again, and we confirm it, It's been confirmed to us. Now we go on to what all of us here know, and Paul said all born again people are meant to know. It shows how what sin soup we have got down here. Because when you get to Romans 6, it talks about the kind of people we are. How does it work out? Shall we continue in sin? How does it work out? Not sins now. 2 Peter says we died to our sins in the blood. Romans 6 says we died to sin. Sin's a product of sin. Sin's a product of sin. And in Romans 6, shall we continue in expressing, not sins now. All right, shall we continue in sin, expressing this bad stuff, this self stuff? Shall we continue? And then Paul gives an answer. It's a very profound answer, and it's known to us here, and it keeps getting more known in the Church of Christ. That's a big thing to say. In certain areas of the Church of Christ, it is anyhow. Which is a far deeper thing, is that this person on earth represented me. So what he was, I was. Because he died, I died. That's big stuff. That's it in the flesh. Flesh is spirit, of course. Yet when he died, I died. When he rose, I rose. That's deeper. And that does mean now something more. It's meant to us a Christ relationship. More than Christ relationship, a Christ union. Now Christ relationship, of course, is our salvation that set forth on the cross. Appreciation through faith in his blood, God set forth. And we come to the cross as apart from the cross through the fall of the cross. Come to the cross, receive the benefits of the cross. So it's amazing the relationship. Now this is a relationship because I'm part of him now. When he died, I died. So I'm unified with, this dying Christ. When he died as me, he died to this thing which had operated, which had been my bugbear, this sin stuff. Died to sin itself. And when he died, the sin of the spirit in him as us died, went out. Of the dead body. And in the world, by a new spirit. So we come in now to Christ. And in Christ, we see ourselves dead. In Christ, death, our death, so the sin, whatever that means. And in Christ's resurrection, we are risen with Christ. So we've come to the in Christ situation, or the Christ in me situation. But we haven't come to the me situation. That's the weak spot. They come to, I'm a Christ in me. Well, that's the Bible. Paul took it, the whole church knew that. Church doesn't know it today. He said, no, you're not, he wrote. Didn't say, find it out. He said, don't you, go look in the Bible, 6:1 says, don't you know that when you die, when you're buried, it symbolized the glory of God, that you went into buried down with Christ and rose again. That was a mortal symbol. Don't you know that, he says, because that's the symbol of new birth, baptism. Of course, that's been vitiated by this ridiculous sprinkling water on a bunch of kids. I hope they deliver from that one anyhow. baptism is a real burial to us, we understand that, at least we're supposed to. And it's relating us now into Christ. Isn't Christ there dying? Is Christ co-dying? I died with Christ. I've risen with Christ, so Christ in me, I'm in Christ. If Christ is in me, taking the place of sin, dead to sin, Christ in me. I've died in Christ, I'm with Christ, risen with him and so on. So our Christ-sensitiveness has become fairly plain. Our self-sensitiveness has not come plain, and that's the weak spot. We get the Christ right, we don't get the me right. And the whole point of getting the me right is in the end all we are is a me. God's the big me. I am is I'm the big me, isn't it? His name is I am, and we're products of the big me. If he's like, we're like, and so on. So in the end, all I have is the big me. The big me and me in some relationship with him as the me. So unless I get my me right, I've not got any focus. And here we have it. We seem to have it. Oh, Christ in me. I've got Christ in me. That's wonderful. Wonderful. What's Satan in me? Christ, that's wonderful. Supposed to be Galatians 20, not I, Christ lives in me. It's wonderful, Mark, tremendous. The church is meant to know that. They're meant to know it's my new birth, but we don't at all. And the other way around, we're in the universal Christ. We're bodies of the head, and we're in the head. The body in the head. Always there we are, either he in me, operating here, or me and him, both sides are wonderful, a union. In other words, we've come from relationship to union. But the point is, who has been united to him? It's the me is the problem. I may say, that. So it says in Romans 6, reckon yourself dead indeed to the alive of God, reckon yourself in Christ. That's this Romans 6, reckon yourself so and so. Now reckon is a hesitating word. Reckon is somewhat mental. I reckon of something. I reckon I'm in this house. Well, I may know I am in it too, but I reckon I'm, I reckon I'm in a house. That's a little mental. I would go further and say, I know I'm in it, maybe, but I reckon. And that's all we're offered in Romans 6. Well, reckon on the fact that Jesus Christ in you. And reckon on the fact that you're part of the really ascended Christ. Seated Christ, body in heaven, all that. Reckon on that. All right. But I don't live by reckoning, I live by knowing. As I say, I'm not in this house recognizing this house. I'm in the house because I know I'm in it. By coming here, I've moved from reckoning this is the house to being in it. Reckoning has become knowing. Reckoning has become realizing. Now Romans 8, Romans 6 doesn't say realize. It says reckon. Why? Because of the me. Why? Because suddenly, in the same letter, same chapter, he suddenly says something else which bothers us. All ye yourselves, he says, members of the God, you're joined to Christ. Yield up your members. Yield is just recognized. They're his members. You're members of the God, members of the Christ. The Christ has got all this. Yet having just said that, in 6, likewise, reckon yourself to be dead unto sin, like unto God, and yield your members. I quoted that, that's 6, 11 and 13. Then he says something shakes him. Then he says, sin shall not have dominion over you. That's verse 14. For you're not under law, but under grace. You see how little heaven is, hardly anybody turns pages here. We're not Bible people enough. No one turning a page. And yet I find I've learned by rereading. We don't see we're lacking something in our union life. Most of the time we have Bibles here. Hardly anyone sends them here, that's what it says. We haven't got the habit. We need a little more Bible habit. With the Holy Spirit concern, it's a faith habit. It's the Bible, and the Bible operates through the Spirit. That's the whole danger today of operating without the Bible. That's why I told you I was so glad when that sharp lady in England said, I liked it. You people in you Americans came over because I found you Bible oriented. I like that. She caught that somehow. And you gave them the sense of what you said, that's what the Word of God says interpreted. That was right. So you see what I mean? You're not to blame because we haven't produced that habit. Maybe we don't. Probably most of us have got Bibles here, but we haven't got the habit of what it says. We don't work that way. I must admit, we don't work that way. Maybe we're not meant to. Yet, well, it must be that basis. If it isn't that basis, we're in trouble. And all these years, I've got, does the Bible say it? By asking, does the Bible say it? Can I prove it from the Bible? Then I sit in the Bible, I prove what I know, but I prove because it says it here. And that's my final answer. Sit in what I say, it says it here. So you can't shut up the critic, really, unless you move back from what I say I know. I know it because it says it here. So the two have to go together, don't they? So we do that among ourselves, but so we're not in front line Bible people, we're more in the front line street people. We're going to be sure it's on the basis of the Bible, that's all. So it says so here. So he suddenly says, he says, you know, reckon this, reckon that, you've seen that, in Christ's death you died to sin, in Christ's life, Christ's your life now, and you're joined to Christ, and reckon that your members belong to him, or you see, or see. Then he suddenly says, for sin does not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace. Now then, that created a shock. It says, what then? Shall we sin, because we're not under the law, but under grace? We have come back. Me has come back. Look. He said, oh, you're dead in Christ. And you're risen in Christ. Christ in you. Christ. Well, we've got a pretty clear idea. What about the me? And suddenly, he cuts back to me. He says, yes, it's all right to reckon your years, your members, and all this, and all that. But he says, since we're not having to know you now, not Christ. For you're not under the law, but under grace. And then he answers, oh, wait a minute, what about me? What then shall we sin? Because otherwise my concern isn't Christ, it's me. It's precisely it. If I got my me in focus, I don't get my Christ out of me in focus. And the church hasn't got the me in focus. That's the problem. That's what we said, that what we say is, wish it was, which is a very large extent unique. Wish it was. The day will come when the unique, this is the earth will full of knowledge of the Lord, the water will come to the sea. And we can't speak about it, we can all know the Lord. Jeremiah saw that by prophecy years ago, it comes up in Hebrew. That day's got to come, it hasn't come yet, not by any means. Because the me is an answer. But to some extent the Christ is answered. Joyously through the ears, we come sharpened up into who Christ is. Pretty good. We haven't got sharpened up in itself. And it had to come back joyously, it had to come through psychology. And the atheist brought it to us. Freud brought it to us, Paul the atheist, Freud. He said, who is the me? This id stuff. I'm not a psychologist. Some of you may know it. All the id stuff. Who is the self? Oh, who is the self? Who is the self? What is the self? So God brought it back to us in our generation to an atheist. And Jung is not an atheist. Jung knew a few things. But it was. It brought the whole, who am I is the great question. Self. Self-solution. Self-liberation. Self. This is the great self day. So we had to have the self answer as well as the Christ answer. And we hadn't got it here. Why? Oh, wait a minute, what am I? Hello. You should have come up on the law. I'm in danger, aren't I? He says here, sin shan't have to be in you because you're not under law. And he goes, oh, wait a minute, if I'm not under the law, can't I dash off and do things I shouldn't do? What about me? I should dash off and do the things I think I knew, that my flesh wants to do. What about me? And frightened. So I become a frightened person. I haven't directed, it hasn't worked out. Because when you get to be, I say, because what of me? What about me? If I've got not the Lord keep me going, who knows what to run into? I haven't found the I. And what if the I haven't found? The I haven't found is the I was never an operator. It's an operator. It never operated. It wasn't itself operating itself. That's the lie. It wasn't what the I do. That's a lie. It's operated by an operator. And you do what the operator means to do. That's the hidden thesis. Now, to some extent, we know that on the Christ level. Or I say, not I but Christ. If it's not I but Satan first. I think you can say, not I but Satan. You can't say, not I but Christ. That's the missing point. Positive is only operated by negatives. You only see light because it's dark. You wouldn't see that if the element is dark. You wouldn't see it. God there, you wouldn't see a light. In the sun, you see it in bright, and calls up its power, it's calling up the power of that light, it's calling up darkness. That light would be nothing there if it wasn't dark. Its power is calling it in the negative. You've got to have the negative, and then the negative is the means of expression of the positive. All that is there. That's the hidden secret of life. And I said yesterday that we saw that in God this is known, like that's why God's three. It's not just some theological theory, God's three, because one is one on one. We're meant to start. We start as I. We're meant to be. We must be. Tremendous I. I must be self-satisfied. I must be self. I must operate high. I must do high. I do it. I'm an operating self. I'm a real self. I'm a satisfied self. God is. Because satisfied in itself, by giving himself to love the Son, he didn't satisfy it in himself, that fire. I by myself, be my own stuff, do my own stuff. Self for self. God never was that, but he was a self. He was a self. Yeah, I am. He never was a self for self. Because from eternity, he was a self for his Son, a self for others. And life power becomes life. Like his Son. Shooting in its helium and produces the radiation, radiates light. And we live by light, which is sun, radiated warmth. Electricity is light, isn't it? E equal MC square, Einstein stuff. It's all light. Yet it's fire, yet it's light. Miracle. Fire becomes light if we live by the, not by the fire, but by the light. It is the fire in a light form, a giving form. It's in a burning form, a giving form. Self is either self-burning, consuming fire, or self-giving light. That's God. That's God. And that's the only I am there is. So the I am the universe is tremendously a self that could have been a self-consuming hell self. Could have been. Never was. From everlasting to everlasting. Moses' beautiful word. From everlasting to everlasting is our God. So we can't put time in. Time is a dimension we lose when we drop there, of course. No time, no space, that's all, everywhere, everything, those great days. But down here we live by time, and so we have to put time in, there's no time, we can't quite get there. So we don't say when in the beginning of the sun took place, we don't say that. We just say eternally begotten. In the eternal begotten, the eternal fire self becomes the light self, becomes self-giving self, self-loving self. Self has a death there, died to be self-giving, so self-loving. And that's in God. We said yesterday, the subtlety of this is that Satan only became an apparent self by remaining himself. He remained a quality of fire. They're all fire. He became consuming fire. Self is self-destruction. Consuming fire, self for self. That's what this world is. Destroys itself. Look, love. Atomic bomb. Destroys. Self-destroys. Self for self destroys. That's fire. And that's what God could have been, never was. From eternity, never was. From everlasting. But potentially could have been, because you've got the thought of the self. There could be a self forever when you've got the right to that relationship. That one self in himself became the other kind of self, the only one being. In himself, he became the other lover self, the light self in the place of the fire self, by his own inner death. And he died as it were to be just for himself, that son is the son, to the son comes all this outpoured love. Now you see, our difficulty is to find ourselves. See, there's a death. It's got to be a self first. Then you've got to, God died to be a self, and have a self get light, become a self great. You have to be a self for self as it were, which is never operating. And to die to that, come to terms, you become a self rather. It had to be a death in deity. And the equivalent to a death. The equivalent to a death. Now then, therefore, when Satan came into being, he didn't take a death. That's this age of reason come today. He didn't take a death. I'm the self, self for self. Never dies. And he really is a product of God's fire gone wrong. Yeah. Nothing in this world is wrong. Everything Paul says, everything good, it's used. Nothing is unclean in itself, it has used. It has used. And so this self, the God self, is used this way for Christ. Love. Satan used this way for Satan. So it's come into being as if he's himself. He really is a product of God's fire self, which remains a fire. And he acts as though he's himself. That's a lie. He doesn't know he's a product of God's fire. He thinks he's himself. That's the lying self, the lying self. And he got that into us in the fall. So in the fall we think we're self-made himself. That's our curse. The self-operating self, we never were. There's no such thing. God Satan isn't a self-operating self. He's a fire operating. He's the other part of God operating it, which God never was, the fire being. He never was himself. There's never been such a thing in the universe, only one self. So Satan kidded himself. And kidding us, he kids off. Now he says he's deep in us. We are selves. But we're derived selves, we're creatures, and we're the ultimate who can expect God's self. But we expect God's self like ourselves. Everything is expected of God. So I say everything cool is glory. But we say, yes, we don't expect God for tree, but it's his glory. So everything I see, I worship and says, I see something of glory of God, and then I see. Because I don't mistake it, because God isn't an it. Because I don't mistake the it of a tree, or the it of an atom, or the it of a chair of a God. But I'm glad we got comfortable chairs, and I'm glad we got padding on them, too. So there we are. We don't mistake the it for God, but they are part of. They are part of. There'd be no chair but for no atoms. There'd be no atoms but for the mind operates atoms, which is God. It's all there. But the marvel, of course, is in order that God be himself again, in his universe. He has cells who are like him, made in his image. Spirit, mind, body. Spirit, soul, body. Made like him. So there is, Satan was made like him. Made like him. But we're made like him because we're only derivatives. We're to express him. There is only one to express. We're here to express him. And Satan expressed the other form of God, which God wasn't. He expressed a fire form of God, which God never been. He could have been, he mustn't be. The self form. So he's a form of God and a negative form which God never expressed. That's the subtlety. But he thinks and says to himself, now then he gets into us. And he makes us to be not just a recipient. Not just agents, but we are the thing in itself, we never were the thing in itself. There's no such thing as a self in itself, no such a thing. That's the hidden disease. And so we start life by thinking we do our own stuff we never did. Now see, because we think that, we can forget that I should be a robber. Oh, wait, if I'm not under law without the grace, if I'm not under law, can't I sin? I sin. I'm an independent person, can't I do it? I can come in because it's a lie. What I do always have the faith in doing the question, there's no I. That's what I do on self is faith in doing that me. So if, because there's no law, I go into my sin, it isn't I doing it, faith in doing it. Jesus exposes it. You know that. The world doesn't know that. That's why John 8:44 has a key verse. John 8:44 was that when he said to the Pharisees, about the two fathers, he said, ye is your father, there's the lust of your father you do. Ye is your father the devil, John 8:44, lust of your father you do. You can't do lust. You're a lusting person, because lust is beautiful. He lusts for the flesh now, he loves the flesh. Who uses the lust? Lust for the flesh, you do. Haven't you enjoyed your breakfast? I hope you have. That's a good lust, isn't it? It's a man who uses your lust. Satan makes us use our lust self to self, fire, self to self, self to self. Misuse our lust. But they aren't our misuses. There's Satan misusing us, and we agree. See, what I have to learn is the only capacity I've got, the capacity of being a recipient. A faith is, I set the thing and operate on it. Now, I set that chair, I operate now, the chair holds me up. All I do is accept the chair, which means I'm able to sit on it. That's all. I reckon in my chair it's a good chair. That's what I can do, my reason. All right, I can't make the chair, I can't hold the chair up. But I can now, the chair can operate me by my sitting on it, it operates me. It holds you up. The fool did it. You had the capacity of choosing your food. That's all you did. And the capacity of taking it. It operates you. You don't operate it. I hope you got quiet comments this morning. The food operates you. All right. You operate the operator. You only operate the operator. You don't operate yourself. There never was such a thing. Never was such a thing. Now the whole world says that we do well off operate ourselves. And in our fallen position, we thought we did. Well, if there's change, at least to some extent we knew it was Satan. Even so, we said, we're the sinner. Satan is a sinner. When he operates, Satan's sin. Lust of our father, you did. Lust of your father, we operate in sin. So, of course, as a free person, I agree with Satan, and therefore I condemn with Satan in my fallen position. But all I have is an agreement. It wasn't my sin. Satan operated in my human desire for lust purposes, for sin purposes. Now I get that much, but I still think I'm a self-operator. And I come into a human, my Christian, and now I'll be a better Christian. What about me? If there's no law, what can I do? Can't I go into sin? As if I can go into sin. As if I personally can go into sin, can do the thing. See, it's a subject that comes right into the redeemed life. Now that's the final issue. God has to make clear to you, it's a different issue from Christ in you. It's a different issue from you in Christ. It's a different issue from justification by faith. It's the me, the issue of the me. And somehow it has to come, because I never did run myself. All the self stuff in me, good or bad, was faith. Whatever form it may take, that's what God, when I was a young man, I'd say, what got me is my self-centeredness. It wasn't open sin that got me. But so, why am I so self-centered? That was Satan. I didn't know it then. Why am I me for me, me for me? A good me for me, fairly good, reasonably good. It was not me, that Satan. I didn't know that until I got saved. Satan is very subtle. The good me for me, all me for me is Satan. And all me for you is Jesus. And there's no you except me for me, Satan, or me for you, Jesus. That's all there is. All you are is the agency. The agency. Now, we've lost that. The church doesn't know it. That's why they build up that church stuff. That's why the hardest people to get saved in ministers, because they built on a false building. Keep your church going. You come to church. You come with the infirmity. You do this. They build on a lie. No wonder they fight it. And their property and salary lie on it. No wonder the church crucified Christ. The church of that day was a priest. Pharisee. The church crucified Christ, not the pagan Rome. If the church crucified us today, because the last thing you've got is yourself, apparently good to the dead, which is still Satan's self. That's the subtlety. I'll come to church, I do this, that I will, is what Paul Simon Roberts said, when I would do good, evil. He couldn't quite, evil present. He couldn't quite guess at once what it meant. It's as in Romans 7, verse 21. Now, when I would do good, not do bad, evil present with me. Because that I would do good is Satan, that's Satan's quality operating as us. And that I would do good is still Satan's self-effort. That's the highest form of Satan, or whatever form of your life. Now, that's deep in it. That's so deep it's captured the church. And it's very radical, everybody knows this. Everybody's moved over from the problem isn't the Christ problem, it's the self problem. And to get the self in focus is the final key. And so here in this chapter, as you go on, Paul gets it. Then he's Paul illustrated for us. But he first says, very strongly, the main thing to Paul through that chapter 6, he says, check this thing, there never was a you in 6, it says know ye not that ye who to whom you yield yourself service, the Greek slave, that's 6:16. To whom you yield yourself, that's all we do. Yield is moving to who we are. I'm moving to what's there. I'm moving to my food. I'm moving to this room. I'm moving the room. I don't do anything, just moving the room, moving the chair, moving the things. Moving something that operates me, takes me over. That's all I ever do, all I ever do. And then I operate on that level. To whom you yield yourself slaves to obey, his slaves ye are, whom you obey, whether of sin, self-self, unto death, self-destruction, or obedience, unto obedience, very subtle how Paul uses that word of faith. He's the only one who does that. His first verse in Romans 1 is at the obedience of faith. Almost the last verse in chapter 16, he says, what obey? Agree with it. Obey isn't doing. All right, I agree it's a chair, I sit in it. I've agreed to it being a chair. All I do is sit in the chair, that's all. I don't do anything except for the chair. The chair does for self. You see, about obedience is to agree to chair. All right, that part I have, because I agree with you. All right, I'm free, I'll sit with you. That's all I do. I yield myself to something which then does itself. All life is yielded to something which does itself. All life is there. All life. And so Paul's very remarkable, which doesn't come in on earth, the obedience of faith. Now you see, because the world, the church got so wrong, we think we get and do it. Work at it. Pray more. Work more. Resolve more. See, that comes self does it. Self doesn't do it. Self yields to the doer. And then, the doer expresses himself too, like a chair expresses himself by holding me up. The fool expresses himself by feeding me. And the thing in me, I spread it, operates as me, it's operating in me, for me, isn't it? The obedience of faith, you obey by recognizing the fact and then moving into that fact. Moving into that fact. Moving into that. So it says here, to reveal yourself self. Adam and Eve yielded themselves to it, got taken over by Satan, which of course is God's fall of fire nature. Taken over by that self nature. Yielded, all they did, they were cut by Satan. And Satan made them think it's a lie, because he thinks he runs himself, he makes them think he runs ourselves. That's a lie. And so, here Satan, you always were slaves. You're either slave to sin, Satan, or slave to Jesus Christ, there never was a you. That's the point he says. There never was a just you. You always were operated by Satan, you operated by Satan. No middle way, but as we think there is. We think there is. I don't know if I've time this morning, but we ought to go into the difference between temptation and sin, because a great deal of trouble lies there. You must take self-responsibility to take temptation for sin. And you get a great deal of false bondage there. We'll go into that later. I don't need to do it now. It's all I do. So I'm talking about unity. So that's the first thing he says. Then in the same chapter, he speaks to him about vine and branch. And he says in the 20th verse, for 21. What fruit had ye then And those things are all the ashamed. Well, it says, what should you? You're servants of sin, slaves of sin. They changed the example from a slave to free. Because of fruit is of free. So what fruit had ye then of those things which were of the shame? You were a branch. You're ashamed of the fruit. It's not your fruit. The tree is getting fruit stuff through you, and you are producing it. You're like the food, and you produce the content of the food in your life. But you produce the content of the food isn't you. Yes, it's just that here. It's Christ death out of one and the other. You became slaves to God, servants to God, and you have your fruit as well. Change fruit, not change branch. The same branch, same you, but you change tree. If you've not changed, the tree has changed. And the tree gets holy fruit to you, and the old tree got bad fruit to you. If the tree has changed, then of course Christ will take them without Christ killing. The tree has changed, you haven't changed. You don't change. Yet the whole gospel changed on that. I precious need in my work, which is my love, of course, my mission. He's a lovely man. He's mighty in faith. He's done good for all his faith. He's been our leader the last 3 years. He's still thinking, no one, what about responsibility? He can't quite take his guilty business. What about responsibility? I said, I'm totally irresponsible. I've been a driven man all my life. I was well driven by Satan himself and self. I was driven by Christ and his brothers now. I'm a well driven man. I can be diverse to him. I haven't talked about temptation. Simply diverse is not the point. I'm a driven man, I'm not responsible. I have to be what I am. So are you. And you were driven well by Satan, self to self. And thank God, I guess all of us here now, well, good and well driven by self to self. It isn't you. You're the branch bearing the fruit. And you're a slave being the owner's stuff. In the old days, a slave being the owner's stuff. What's your stuff? And in the next chapter, he says of marriage. He says, marriage is lordship. He says, verse 7, a wife is bound by the law of a husband. Versus the law of a husband. So you're supposed to be wise, aren't very good at it. But you're supposed to be obeying the law of your husband. And and then Paul says, the husband died. In Christ, the husband death has died. And now it goes on to, you've got a new husband, Christ. You never were a widow, and never were a widower, never. There's no such thing. The day you died to one marriage, they said, she's no longer a doctor, you marry next to the other one. You save husband's to husband Christ. So she hammers home three illustrations here. You never were a new silly people, except as a recipient, an operator. You operate what operates you. You operate what operates you. Operate, not you. Now all the remainder of Romans 7 is for it is duty for our sake. That is the problem, that's how I went through it. And I first went through it in Israel, not knowing this independent I is a false thing. It didn't tell that I suddenly got to hold of the 10th commandment. He always was a moral man, so thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not. He didn't bother Paul, I didn't think. He said, on that morality is good. But of course, full of self-loving self. Self for self, the highest morality. So the good morality is still say self for self. Right, wrong is self for self. And he got it on the 10th commandment. Tenth commandment, don't even desire. Oh, thou shalt covet. Oh, that got it. I don't commit adultery. I don't lie. I don't steal. I don't murder. But no desire. And what do I do with that? And he says that, he said, I shall come to God here, full of wrong desires. Full of wrong desires. She learned it there, that it says, I have not known sin, the Lord said, I shall not covet. Sin, since the occasion of the commandment, wrought in me all manner of truth. Thus, sin, the commandment came to him and said, Paul had a lie, said the lie. Oh, I won't do that. I won't do that. Of course I won't. I'm a new person. I love God now. I won't covet and lust and that. I won't do that. And then he said, see, there's no such thing as I won't. There's no such thing. All you is the recipient of the I want are first the I in you, or the I will, I want it to do. It's first in you. I will do that, I won't do that. And taking in it, and I will do it. So taking in Paul says, yeah, Mr. Bell, you'll be full of my stuff. I could do you. He couldn't help it. I didn't want to have the recipient. I don't want to. To win this person, I don't want to. But I'm run by the person who is the doer in me. And the doer in him was Satan. You lost. What's wrong? He had just come up first, can't do hell, nothing to it. First recipient for the doer. That's all he ever is. An operator, the one operator is all he ever do. At last he comes. So he went through, he had to go through agony, which is almost certain. They put that in the present case to go, oh, well, I hate what I do, I don't want to do it. To win this person, you have to fall, you got it. That's true. To win this person, you have to do it, you say, all right, I agree. Yes? Part of the form I haven't got. That's why he said to number seven. He got that last, you see. He says, somewhere there, to win this person with me. Oh, that's verse 18. I know in me, my humanity, my good humanity, goes in court of flesh, there's no good thing. To win this person is the heart of the form I find not. See, it isn't in us. The heart of the form isn't me. The will is me. I can choose, and now I can choose the performer. I can choose the performer. So you see, he said, I don't want to do these things, but the performer, he didn't, you see, he didn't understand it, and it was Satan. And Satan was still there, he didn't know Satan had put out, didn't realize Satan had put out the Calvary, hadn't entered into that yet, because it had been too deep in him. He got the sins out, and the relationship to Christ right, he hadn't got the self right. And so she didn't know that when Christ died as he made sin, sin of Satan, without the Christ, wholeness came in, because for me he's only the container. He didn't know that. He mixed up himself and sin. And so he said, how the former find out that it's not in us? At last he said, oh, it isn't me. Oh, it isn't me. It's sin operating me. Sin's not me. Sin's this wrong spirit that got into me. This self spirit that operates me. It isn't me. Then because he learned the other, it doesn't come so much, it doesn't give the details so much in Romans, it doesn't Corinthians, as I say, how Christ not only bore our sins, so you wouldn't need to know that, the body of Christ made sin. We are, our body expresses all you are the expressor. You express your inner deity. And your inner deity is sin self, self in me, express that's called sin. Therefore when Jesus hung there as me, he expressed sin to mend the service. That's the final statement, of course, that is in the Bible on the Calvary. What 2 Corinthians 5:21 is the profound statement in the Bible. For God made him to be, made him sin, not sin. Made him new as me, I express the sin spirit, Satan. So Jesus Christ expressed that sin. That's the reason why it says, my God, why have you Satan? Had to be Satan then. He acted as if he's Satan sin there. Inside him, as us, was his spirit. But then death comes out of the spirit. So when he died on Calvary, out went that spirit. And in the tomb came the new spirit. So you see, Paul there got the body death of the spirit. And the church doesn't seem to know that. That's why when you get the Lord's Supper, they don't know how to pray the bread. They pray the wine. Well, Lord, we thank you, this indicating you'll shed your blood. What's bread? Broken bread. How do I... Don't know, because broken bread makes the body die, there's loads of blood. You don't know that. The broken bread, the broken body, then out went the wrong spirit, into the right spirit. So most people, when they pray over the Lord's Supper, don't know what to pray about the broken bread. Because they haven't got it clear. But we've got it clear. A person with the broken body, the blood, of course, is the life, but out of the body, as us, the sins. The body is us, and our body contains sin. So Christ has made sin. So when that body died, they outweighed that sin, as us. In the resurrection, in Christ has stood as us. And because Paul knew that, in Romans 7:18, oh, he says, I see. apply to physically. To will is me, I have the right to will, I have the right to align myself to what is, that's my one capacity. Faith can align itself to chair, can align itself to this, can see this, can move into this, but it's not the doer. The doer is the thing that takes you over. And the sin took me over. All of these sins, I know now, sin that I found out the way, but it took me 2 years. That's the declaration. He said he had a revelation so great, in heaven I'll let him be damned. And the revelation is, what did Christ died for me? Is Christ died as me, as a sinner, and outwit the sin. And then in the right, he died as me as a sin expression, not just a sin. Outwit the sin expression, Satan, into the other. Paul found out in 2 years in Arabia. That's why he said he's blessed to Christian. Because God is Christ is all. And now he sees that now Paul says, oh, thank God, why am I howling about myself? Oh, wretched man, I'm not a wretched man. I've mistakenly got a wretched container. If he hadn't got the catch containers out, he hadn't moved in by faith, the container went out in Christ's body there. He hadn't got that clear. Oh, I'm not a wretched man, because my body contains Jesus, doesn't contain sin at all. Oh, now in Romans 8, he says, now I see. That's no more condemnation, let's discuss that, so 10 pages on. Now, it was Romans 8, 2. For the law is a principle. The principle of the Spirit of Christ, of life in Christ, hath made me free from the principle of sin and death. Hath made me free, this is recognizing, this is realizing. Oh, I know now. Now, when you know it's a passion, now I'm saying to you today, we are here, we know all this, about this passion. If you know you've got a passion, if you've got faith, you've got a passion, then you have a passion for Jesus. You wanted to get other people saved, didn't you? You couldn't help it, didn't you? You couldn't help it. The other love grabbed you. You had a passion to get other people. It wasn't you. This new spirit in you, the new birth. Spirit's passion, God's passion. Passion, fire, fire, fire. With fire, passion. Now then you know this, you've got another passion. Oh, I've got a passion. I'm Christ as me. I'm a walking Christ. It is Christ as me. It was Satan as me. All that's happening to me is Christ as me. I've got a passion. This is my liberation. Whatever happens to me, it's Christ happening to me. If I'm sick, it's Christ in the sick body. And I put the right. And it is he now. It happens to me. He. But I say, I was with my friend Betty Cthulhu yesterday. She's saying in her business how she's learning that thing. It's Christ when the machine goes wrong or something. Learning. It's Christ. This, Christ as me, not Christ in me, Christ for me, Christ as me. This is it. Now Paul said, oh, I see, it is a passion. Now, anybody that says this, that's the passion he had. So I'm asking you now, how far have you actually squared up to this? We're in a circle, and you can discuss it as the days go on, you can discuss it among yourselves. You certainly squared up salvation by grace, you've got that. A sinner saved by grace, you've got that. You've probably squared up the Christ in you. Probably you have. You probably said to Paul, I've been crucified in Christ. I live yet not I, but Christ. But not so high on not I. You know the Christ part. You're quite so clear on not, yet not I. You know the Christ. Yet not I, but Christ is in me. You say it. All right, you get the Christ in me. And you get that I. And you ask, I never were I. Where did you get who did you contain us all? You were slave to Satan, you're slave to Christ. You were granted the bad tree, you were granted the right tree. Your wife had the wrong husband, your wife had the right husband. Your vessel that contained rock liquid, your vessel that contained mercy liquid. That's all. You never were the condition. You never were a lone body, or a widow or widower or something, and another one there. That's the illusion. Now, I'm saying to you, I tell you this, that if you see this, it will reveal you. That's what the burning bush was to Moses. Only they had a great conscience when self went out. See, Joseph is a great man, a young man. Oh, he had a dream that his very brothers had bowed down to him. Well, they hated him, they sold him as a slave. That boiled him up. But his second dream was his parents bowed down to him. Oh, why? That guy. You can read Joseph. His first dream was that I'd like a sheep and all the other sheep to bow down to me. His brethren, that woke them up enough to tell him. Their brethren, his second dream, I'm a son, and it's caused a biology, including my father and my mother. He died. So if the dad to say my father and mother would bow down to my knees, who's going to say that? Self doesn't say that. He died. That's how Moses deals with God. He looks to say about himself, here's God as Moses, and God as Joseph, God is Moses. Moses found out the many books. Books is just fire burning. Books is just the agency. Fire, I'm the fire burning. I'm the God fire burning. I'm just the agency. The fire's burning. Fire keeps going further. All those things about Jesus Christ is baptism. That's his baptism. All is curse upon me. Now he says, I do nothing about myself at all. I do nothing about myself. I do what I see the Father do. I see what I see the Father say. Look, I do all my shit. The good day. He does it. Jesus found me, because I had to go as a man, had to go as a man. And then for 28 years, he didn't know it. And because at baptism, he identified as a sinner, that's a big thing. Don't say, don't forget time. That's to be considered. That's what I fulfill righteousness. That was the only condition. And the book of baptism, that identifies as a sinner needing a baptism. He didn't need a baptism. But as after he did, that's when he died. Jesus died and that gave the satisfaction. And he goes, now I've got you. Adoption is me. You're just me again. You're the sins of Christ on you. You got it. So Jesus has gone the same way and has to go that way. And if he goes beyond Christ, it becomes you. You've got yourself to the focus. So I'm saying to this yourself. There is a moment when it happens to you, you know. When you know, you see what happens? You know you're a God container. Ooh, you know it. And you laugh. And all this I haven't discussed this morning, the temptation of sin, because you get mixed up with another time on that. But all we do is either Satan do the Christ doing it. There's no halfway. And our common life is Christ doing it. Well, Satan, and so deep down we know it isn't we. Now we have to come back to that. That's it, this year. Come back to it. But you know where to come now. You know how to come. That's okay. You didn't know how to come. That's okay. You didn't know how to come. That's what I say about that poor backup person. No good training Jim back and have 2 years constantly. Tell him he's Christ. He doesn't know who he is. Doesn't know. Jerry Paul couldn't tell him. Jerry Paul's a big man. Doesn't know. He couldn't tell back at what the answer was. He said he had 2 years constantly. That's not the answer. The answer is, you're Christ. It's Christ keeps you. If you do, put together again. Christ keeps you. Doesn't know. No one tells him. The church doesn't know it. The church doesn't know it. We do know it. So I've got to know I know it. I've got to know myself. And myself knows it. I know who I am. I laugh. I'm a joke. I'm God's joke. I like being God's joke. It's fun. So this is you. That bad stuff is Satan. And the good stuff is Jesus. Doesn't bother me. See, that's why they have to condemn that stuff, because they do it themselves. You see how when they challenge the guy or somebody, that kind of if you could adopt, you wouldn't answer that. Because they all are doctors. They are asking what dreams don't. See, when you think it's me, don't I do those things? Well, this is me. This is me, the doctor, Sydney, Satan doing it. Then you're free. If you do, do a backup. You come back, what do you do with Satan? Then you know. Backup doesn't know. No pretend. See, there's a difference between me doing it to Satan doing it or Christ doing it. So when sin comes, well, you may slip. I thought I hadn't talked about that. You may slip, you very rarely. Thank God, very rarely. That's the temptation of sin. So if you do get out of there, you're safe anyhow. And you don't have time to change yourself. You're just a container. And then all the bad stuff is safe to get there. You and the good stuff is the Holy Spirit operating you. That's all. Then you laugh in the sleep. Then you know. Then you've got a passion. Because you found the real stuff. And then you go on to be a self that does things like God. Then you're going to work these works of faith, which we do for eternity, and work the works of faith. And just do things as God. That's the shot. It hangs around the understanding of the self. Well, what about me? Aren't I responsible? What about me? Is that what law can I do? What about me? A lie. That means either Satan, me, or Christ, there's no me. There's no me. I didn't know that. What about me is a lie. If only Satan knew Christ, and if Christ knew, he'd keep that faith before. That's it. So I'm underlining to you what we talked about yesterday. I'm asking you, where's up? It says a way up beyond Christ, you see. Beyond for Christ, beyond in Christ. It's you. It's the you in the relationship. it's not the Christ, it's the human relationship. And when you get that right, then it is Christ, because it was Satan. But you know where it is. That's all. Thank you. Made of fire. Everything's fire. God's fire. Because fire and his fire become less fire, light. Or continue the other one. So Bible calls it fire and light. The measure of the station now. Hebrews 12. Continue fire. Fire consumes all something happens to it becomes light. A death. We know scientifically death in this healing happens. And it releases an energy and becomes. So the burn fleshes. That's the paradox. What burns fleshes, but it's then resolved inside it. It's resolved in the sun element. And what resolves the sun element, concealing the fuse, as it tries to do the shooting effort. When the sea fuses, out comes the new power. New power is life. And the whole life, electricity is life. Walter Ruskin taught us that, the thing is alive. Life is electricity, life, God is life, this is life, everything is life, everything is life. Like fire in an edified form. Self-giving form, self-getting form. Fire is self-getting. And life is self-getting. And that's what God is what it is. Fire, life. And we become that. We're all fire. We're passion. Of course we're passion. Thank God we're passion. This is where passion goes. Lust is a beautiful word. Burn with lust. Says what kind of lust? Oh, we've put bad connotations on some of those words. There they are. And the word in Greek is epithumia, which is strong desire. This lust of my lust in Greek is seeking the kingdom, Jesus said. The Greeks just we use the word lust. It's great, just strong desire. Passion. And now our passion goes into this. Our passion goes into giving Jesus the solution he's got, inner solution. And give people the whole business now. I as he. The suffering. So the suffering, every form of thing, fire, suffering. I don't like it. And we always get it. All life consists in that. You see what Paul said? Perplexed? Who isn't perplexed? Who isn't perplexed? Don't run away. Accept our perplexity, creative solution. Don't run away and say, oh, well, we'll find the answer somewhere. Get the answer inside you. That's the head on. Subjectivity, get it inside you. Find the answer to that perplexity. Perplexed, but not, nothing to say, oh, I see. It's a bit of a mess. It's God's mess. You watch. God's coming through that mess. Now then, I've got inner harmony. And I died to be governed by negative perplexity. I said perplexity, it's God's perplexity. So God has I mean, I can't see how yet, but God has the answer. I'm satisfied, I'm watching for God's answer. Now I'm back in harmony, and the life of the body is coming, his life, the universal life, coming to our body. Other people can catch the harmony. All life is there. In every form. Pressure, suffering, every life. That's just like those kids out there. But the point of getting it is, you then see it's the background of glory. We aren't fighting our suffering. That's the poor world fighting us. Mainly try to escape it by calling it mistake or something. And try to escape it. All the Lord has come up. And put up our terrific armament for all this ridiculous stuff. Get the nation in debt to do it. All this miserable stuff. Fear. So we have to do it out of stuff. Make our armament for all this stuff. Existentialism solves it inside you. Find the truth inside you. And there's the truth inside you. Of course, it's God's stuff. It's God's devil. That's something Jesus said. It's God's devil. The devil could come in. I told you. The Christian world coming has nothing in me. Subjectivity. Outwardly, objectively, calling the bitch. In with it, you didn't get it. And your inner person, this is only party. It's things that are in temp. Like a fish. Inside is me. And Jesus was an existentialist. Satan has nothing in me. They took his tear out of the temple. After that, at the supper table. Then he went out to the garden. And Sophia, I just said, well, I don't like this, huh? I don't like this. I don't, is it possible? I don't want to do it. That's real. Of course, this is Jesus Satan. You see, Satan on the tempting level is good practice. Satan's only used when he gets us into sin, but that's only occasional. So, tempting level is good practice. And occasionally it goes into sin, then it's common, but that's only rare. And so Jesus has Satan on tempting level. Not my will. He tempts that this is Satan saying, come on, you shouldn't do that. Come on. No, I should do it, because God said I should do it. He's not inspired in bloody sweat. They couldn't meet with that prayer. They went to sleep. 3 times over, alone in God. Like inside. It came out of some bloody kind of sweat of some kind. Inside. In God. And then when the soldiers did come, you know, and then Peter cut the ear off the high priest, and all that, and Jesus healed him, he said, after that, the cup which my Father has given me, he got it. The devil was God's cup. So I've dissolved it when the enemy becomes your friend, becomes your means in which God does something. The cup of my Satan is God's cup. God's cup. That's in a solution. That's the perplexity, not in prayer. Persecution is not to shake, cast down, but not destroy. But you are first cast down. And you are first oppressed. You are first persecuted. And that's the suffering. So there isn't glory without suffering. Now we all suffer. You see, until I recognize that, I must say, get this principle. You know, everybody suffers. The poor world suffers. But don't want to do with it. People do know what to do with it. That's our point. We all suffer. But don't want to do with it. We do know what to do with it. Inside you only. You do not go outside. You have to reverse the outside into the inside, the primary answer inside, the existential, inexistence. How do I respond? I'm inexistence. I'm inside you. How do I respond? I don't like it. Where does this come? Now, wait. That I is that Satan gets at me. My real I is Christ. Oh. Satan gets at me. Satan gets it. Tell us. Not start that way. Get me. What does it get you? Pulled. And so we always get pulled. And the whole life is how to resolve the pull. But I say, well, I am pulled, but I forget I'm who I am. That's all. The pulling boys out yesterday. The other one, I forget what I mean. I talked about it. The page picked it up last night. Very good. You're must be pulled, and that pull is taken on you. That's good health. That's good practice. That's all. It may take long time. It's a learner. It may take even Jesus 3 hours. That's Jesus. So that's okay. I'm being pulled. Take it here. And you hear it. You hear it. You see it in situations, imaginations, and so on. Here. And that's real. Hey, wait a minute. I'll go inside myself. I'll go inside myself. Hi, you're not that. You're me. Hi, you're not that stuff. You're me. Now, inside you move back to who you are. You always were. Just forgot. So temptation is to get who you are. And you must do so to be real as a suffering is there. And your suffering begins to be glory, but it's still suffering, but God's got an answer. You watch. God's playing quick. He said, turn this thing into a good thing. Turn Calvary into resurrection. No resurrection, no Calvary. There's no Calvary, no resurrection. That couldn't be what we are forever, but for Calvary. And how he walked. He prayed that he might, he prayed he shouldn't be dying. Interesting. He said he prayed that he shouldn't be dying. He did die, but the die is the outer die, because he's in the mission. So that's it. So you see, all life is this. It's under every kind of form. Big forms, little forms, outer forms, inner forms. All life is suffering. Because this is the only way of protecting.
You got
to test the sort of character, learn your consult your doctor, you learn your medicine to practice it. To learn our culture to practice it. It's the only way. Everything that God has directed it, he can't hold it through. So, where it says God can't lie, it means there came a time when God turned down the instructions. Now, that's the best thing to say, because that's using simple terms, eternal fact. We can't quite fit together. But somewhere in eternity, there was that amount of something, and God was quicker than me for me, just as coming to be underneath you. And the fire was in the light. There's a death there. There's a death in God. And that's the glory of just the blood again, as we talked about that this morning. And then Alan Parker, the lawyer, picked it up and produced that in the book, Death in the Heart, Across in the Heart of God.